Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Grunniblink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos and originator of the Zero G Draft Strategy. In this podcast, Blake and I are going to talk about the biggest hot shots and have nots of the last couple of weeks. Let's get it. Now, of course, I have your friend and my best friend, Blake Kramer, here with me, the biggest hotshot of all. Blake, how are we feeling tonight?
Oh, damn, that's high praise right there. I'm going to take that, put it in my pocket, save it for later, Nate. All right, thank you very much for your service. Yeah, things are good. It's the end of another fantasy week, everybody. You know, a lot of my matchups are coming down to the wire, but I feel more confident this week, and you know, it's been such a weird season up to this point for my fantasy teams anyway. I love my teams. It's just my big guns aren't really performing. Like, I got guys like Matt Tkachuk, Kaprizov, you know, players of that nature. Ovi, I've traded now in two leagues, and they just aren't doing the thing. So, yeah, if those guys could just, you know, like we predicted, right, Nate? I mean, you're the seer of seers, basically. I'm just, you know, riding your coattails. But, yeah, we got to get these guys getting the biz. But that's it. It's a nice little Sunday. Other than that, how about you, my man?
Doing well. Yep. Love to see myself taking down some matchups this week. Feels like I've been betting 50-50 for the past 50-50. That's not a batting average, is it? 500 for the past couple of weeks. But yeah, this week we're turning it around. I'm starting to take things home. Got the most points in Kickupful in my division this week. Most points in the content creators. And yeah, we're starting to turn things around. So that's feeling good. Well, why don't we go ahead and get into a little bit of newsies, Blake. Let's talk about Anaheim first off here. We got Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale back practicing with the team, so that's good to see. Don't have any kind of official timetable there, but obviously that's a first step along the path to recovery for both and getting back on the ice for the Ducks. So hopefully, I don't know what you'd typically expect. They were obviously longer-term injuries, so you might think they'd take a week or so to get back and rolling, but hopefully sooner rather than later we can see both those guys back on the ice. And honestly, with how Anaheim has been, they haven't been terrible. They've definitely not been great, but they've been at least in the conversation in most of the games they've been playing. So with those two guys back in the fold, you got to think that things might swing back the Ducks' way. And we do have Mason McTavish missing his third straight game today. I don't really have any updates as to, you know, if this is going to be a longer term thing. He didn't go on the road trip, didn't play in this game. They've got another road trip coming up this week, if I remember correctly. Yeah, they're going away to do all the New York teams. So we'll see if he gets on that road trip. They don't play till Wednesday, so he's got still a couple of days here to rest and recoup to get back from whatever he's working with there. And unfortunately, Blake, we have Boone Jenner timeline now. It's 6 weeks. Really tough to see. We're all rostering Boone Jenner all over the place. Super valuable player for fantasy as well, and holds the key to Blake's heart, as we all know. But 6 weeks is the timeline there. In the interim, you might think that somebody like a Fantilli might get some more time on ice. You might hope to see something along those lines, but Fantilli played 13:54 in the game today. I really don't know what they're going to do here. They're just giving 15, 16 minutes to a whole bunch of people, everybody except Fantilli, pretty much, which is obviously incredibly frustrating. But yeah, it's going to be tough. And honestly, this does hurt like basically everyone in Columbus, right? It's just going to be tough for them to sustain a lot of value. Like, I think about Elvis Merzlikins, who I've liked a lot, has been really good in obviously limited situation, just how many shots are he's facing every single night. But without Boone Jenner on the lineup, I have to imagine it gets even worse. So it's just a bad scene for the team overall. Everyone who typically gets some exposure to Jenner is not going to have that anymore, and that's going to hurt. Dylan Larkin was knocked all the way out in Saturday's game. Saw the replay. It did not look good. And Larkin does have some history with some concussion and neck related things. So there's definitely lots of concern. Don't have an update there yet, but have to imagine they'll be fairly careful with him given some of the history there. Arturi Lehkonen is skating again. No timetable there, but obviously skating is a good sign. Hopefully he can get back soon as well and help make a couple team as well. Andrei Svechnikov making everybody super mad with being a game time decision for two straight games and being out in both of those games. It's still sounding like it's day to day, and he may well be back in the next game or he may not. But yeah, unfortunately, it sounds like we're going to play this dance for another go around here. Eric Halla didn't play in New Jersey's last game, which is of note because he was playing on the top line with Jack Hughes, and we're interested in him for those purposes. Again, not much information, and it's kind of been a theme with these NHL teams. They don't want to give too much information away, which, quite honestly, I've never really understood why they, like, in football, they have, like, very, like, hard and fast rules about injury reporting, and it has to do especially with, like, the betting environments around football and how big a sport it is there. And I don't know why the NHL can't sign up to some of those things. But anyway, we get what we get and we don't get much, and that's why we know that Eric Halla didn't play, and we don't know anything beyond that. What we do know is that Philip Grubauer is going to be out a week for the Seattle Kraken. He can't come back until December 18th, I'm seeing on one site here. So yeah, that's obviously going to open a door here for Joey Decord. When Grubauer was out last time, it was just Decord that got some play there. They obviously called up Chris Driediger again as well. So interest in Joey Decord. I mentioned on the last show that Seattle has actually really turned a corner in the last little bit in terms of dominating the shot attempts and the scoring chances in at 5v5 in all of their games. And so I'm actually quite interested in Joey Decord with this latest news. He's getting the start in the game here tonight against Minnesota. Right now it's 1-0 Minnesota, just really barely gotten started, just halfway through the first period here. So we'll see how the game goes tonight, but I do have interest in Decord because the Kraken over the last few weeks have actually been a very solid place for a very good goalie environment, I will say. Victor Hedman didn't finish the game that the Lightning had. Again, no real updates on what that might be. And so obviously, if Hedman does miss any time, you're looking at a huge bump for Mikhail Sergachev. He could go right back to that like 65-point pace he was showing us last year. Wouldn't be surprised to see that at all, especially while Kucherov is just on fire. Pavel Zacha, day-to-day with an upper body injury. Sounds like it's minor, but obviously wait and see on that one. Alex Tuch may come back and play later on in Buffalo's three-game road trip that they've got this week, so we can take an eye out for that. They play Monday against Arizona, Wednesday against Colorado, and Friday against Vegas. If he gets back for Friday, then he could play also Saturday against Arizona again at home. That's away. They're at home against Arizona here on Monday, and then they go on the road trip. So, yeah, maybe we'll see him for Friday. Maybe we'll see him for Saturday. Hopefully, Alex Tuch is back sooner rather than later. And then just from the games today, just before we were about to hit record here, it sounds like Kyle Connor had to be helped off after taking a knee-on-knee collision, and doesn't sound good. Not going to return to the game here, but obviously we'll get some more updates maybe after the game here today on Sunday or maybe tomorrow. So keep your eyes peeled on that for Kyle Connor. You would have to imagine that that's Nikolaj Ehlers' music to get back on the top power play and to play on the top line, but also he's going to lose the opportunity of playing alongside Connor at even strength, which might honestly just kind of be a wash in the grand scheme of things. So take that for what it's worth, but obviously there will be a hole and somebody will have to fill it if Connor is down for a while. Any of these coming up for you, Blake? What's the biggest news that you're seeing on this list here?
Well, it's got to be Boone Jenner. Come on.
Obviously.
I mean, you know what?
I don't know why I asked.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, you set him up, I knock him down, right? We got synergy, Nate. But Boone Jenner, like, again, I always say this, but one of the things that got me onto Boone Jenner was the fact that he was trending towards, or he was, yeah, he looked like he was going to get 250 shots, 100 hits, and 90 to 100 blocks in a season, plus like 30 goals or something. Like, it's crazy. And he was doing it again. Like he's right in line for that. So, this is just, he's just such a beauty. So it sucks. Right. But I don't know. What are you going to do? The guy's he seems to miss some time every year. Right. But when you play that hard, I don't know. Like, there you go. Like he's a beefer, right? He gets out there and does stuff. So anyway, shout out to Boone Jenner. Get well soon, my man.
Get well soon, Boone Jenner. Hit us up if you ever want to be on a fantasy hockey podcast for no apparent reason. Right, Blake, let's get into some hot shots. We've got to talk about Jack Eichel, who is absolutely on fire right now. 10 points, 4 goals in his last 5 games here, averaging about 19 and a half minutes a night. 5th in the league in shots per 60. A little bit down in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 at 133rd. On-ice numbers are solid but unspectacular. 97th in Corsi 4 per 60, 106th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. So on the season now, he's up to 35 goal pace, 91 point pace, and the shots have kind of been there all season long. 10th in the league in shots per 60 on the season. What's your take here for Jack Eichel? Are you expecting 91 points? Do you think there's some positive here, some negative? What's the expectation moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm low-key excited about it. I mean, it's hard to be low-key about a guy that's, you know, trending towards 90 points, but this is a guy that I don't really ever get anywhere because he's a center only, and he's kind of in that tier in the draft where you just, you feel like you want to go a different way. Like you want to get a good defenseman, or you want to, you know, shore up your right wings or whatever. Right. So Jack Eichel, I always missed the boat, but I'm happy to see this because I remember there was a narrative a little while back, like, oh, this guy's just as good as Matthews. Right. Which is not true, but I mean, he's being talked about in the same conversation. And I love the fact that his shots have trended upwards here. Like this guy last season in 67 games, 3.3 shots per game. Right now after 28, he's at 4.3 shots per game. That's huge. That's exactly what we want to see. I mean, he's already got 10 power play points after getting 14 last year. His ice time is up. He's really getting the top player, the franchise player treatment right now for Vegas. And that's great for him in fantasy, all Jack Eichel owners. Yeah. I think 90 points. Yeah, I could see 90 points if he keeps getting this kind of deployment and is able to keep his shots up like that. Like, I think those scoring chances should go up too, right? Like you said, that's a little bit low. That's lower than we would expect a player that's sort of popping off the way he is right now. So, yeah, I'm on board. I don't have him anywhere. So, you know, if it doesn't benefit me, Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. But, yeah, Jack, well done to you, my man. I think this is a great player. And I feel like he seems like he's playing fully healthy right now. Like, this might be like the way Jack Eichel is.
Yeah. I think that really the biggest thing here is that you're seeing just a massive shift in the way that Vegas is deploying the top power play. Jack Eichel is averaging 4 minutes and 32 seconds a night on the power play. Last year, that was 2 minutes and 43 seconds. Yeah, like it's just night and day. And he's shooting really well there. Obviously, typically see a higher shots per 60 at on the power play than you do at other strengths. And I think that's really kind of all there is to say. He's getting more time on the power play, and obviously his shots per 60 is up because of that. He's just doing basically what he's done all the time. He's just getting more time to do it and on the power play where it's more dangerous. So if that continues, then I don't really have a reason to doubt that he can continue to do it. I think the on-ice shooting percentage, 11.1%, that's about in line with where you'd expect for a guy like Eichel. He's shooting 10%, which is honestly about where he's been for the majority of his career. Last year he shot 12.1, season before 10.5. when he was in Buffalo, he kind of oscillated between the mid nines and the mid tens, with the exception of the 1 year where he shot almost 16% and everybody thought he was Matthews. So basically, I guess what I'm saying is I buy it. Yeah, I think they've just clearly decided to deploy the power play in a different way, and Jack Eichel is one of the primary beneficiaries of that, and so this is the result.
Love it.
Let's keep rolling. Let's talk about Evan Bouchard, who is also on fire. 8 points, 3 goals in his last 5 games, averaging close to 23 minutes a night. 19th amongst all defensemen in shots per 60 in that span. 53rd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. 17th in Corsi, 4 per 60. 12th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. On the season, pacing for 26 goals, 92 points. What do we see for Evan Bouchard? Obviously, I was pretty off of Evan Bouchard. I had Pretty low expectations for him overall. My projection was pretty low. I had some concerns about whether his IPP would be up there. It's just not a part of his game that he had shown before. He's obviously hitting every metric out of the park right now. So talk to me about your expectations for Bouchard. Do you think that, well, maybe not 92 points, but do you think he can hit a point per game on the season?
Yeah, I think it's in the range of possibilities. There's no question there. Will it happen? I don't think so. But I mean, I'm with you. Like, I know you had a lower projection on Bouchard, and I had a higher but still low projection. I think I projected him for like 68 points. I just think there was a lot of risk with this player in draft season because we hadn't seen it. It's a very unique situation, right? Like, Tyson Berry leaves, this guy goes off and then goes really off in the playoffs, like, you know, just going buck wild on the power play, but we still hadn't seen it for the full season, right? And then the way Edmonton started the regular season here, it was just trash. So this guy, I don't know, like, how about, he's got 16 points in 11 games. Damn, he's got 11 game point streak. And he's doing it. He looks really good out there. I think moving forward, I think we're looking at 70 points here for Bouchard. I think that's in the wheelhouse. And I don't know, he's just, this is ceiling Bouchard to me. What he's doing right now is ceiling Bouchard. So if you expect that he's going to, you know, run hot the entire season, then yeah, 92 points, sure, because I think he can get that. But I just think it's a long season. We're only, you know, what, 25 games in for the Oilers. Like, it's going to regress, right? But I am glad to see, just as a hockey fan, I'm glad to see the Oilers putting some wins together, get back in the conversation, get back in the playoff hunt, right? Like, that team's too good to be not making the playoffs, right? So this is an exciting player. All those people that drafted Bouchard in draft season, like, probably got him a lot higher than I was comfortable taking him. And I don't know, you were probably the same way, hey, Nate?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely wasn't comfortable where a lot of people were taking them. Obviously, they're being paid off. They saw something I didn't. All the kudos to them. I will say, yeah, there's definitely some regression signs here with Bouchard. 61% IPP, that would be the highest IPP. Well, I guess we had Erik Karlsson last year who hit that, but outside of one Erik Karlsson season, nobody's touched that in a long time. So that's pretty outlandish. That's going to come back down. The 10.8% shooting percentage, also pretty likely to come back down. 12.1% on ice shooting percentage, maybe in Edmonton you can sustain that just because of how efficient they are, but I still feel like that's definitely redlining a little bit. So all that to say, in the end, like, the way that they're deploying him, the increase in points percentage that we've seen from him, the way he's involved in the play is all very promising, and I do expect like 70 points would be my baseline moving forward as a point pace for the rest of the season, and then it wouldn't shock me to see him hit a point per game pace for the rest of the season either, just given how dynamic, obviously, Edmonton's top guys are. All right, let's keep rolling and talk about Blake's favorite player now that Boone Jenner is injured. Bo Horvat, 3 goals, 9 points in his last 5 games. I'll just kick it over to you, Blake. Try not to slobber too much as you wax poetic in your love for Bo Horvat.
Bo Horvat, get off my lawn. All right, no. I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm parroting the old man yelling at the clouds, get Bo Horvat off your fantasy team. I don't know. 9 points in 5 games for this guy. That's excellent, right? And that's obviously himself and Matty Barzal are just going off right now. They're incendiary. So, you know, it's a chicken and egg type situation there with Horvat and Barzal. Who's really driving that play? I think, you know, what I've seen with Horvat, like, it's probably Barzal, right? But, you know, Horvat's been very opportunistic, right? But the metrics don't show that. And I know you'll go into that, Nate, but This is the type of player Bo Horvat is. He can be efficient. He's opportunistic, right? But he's shooting 30% in the last 5 games for his 3 goals, right? So 10 shots in 5 games. Yay. That's not what we're looking for, right? His on-ice shooting percentage, 20% over the last 5 games. It's just not a player I'm ever excited about. And right now, he's pacing for 79 points, which would be a career high. I don't believe that at all. In fact, I don't believe that he can get to 70 points this season. That's what he was able to do last season. And I think in between 60 and 70 points is where I think Bo Horvat should live. But he's getting some nice deployment there, and he's obviously has some nice chemistry with Matt Barzal, but there's just some things that don't make a lot of sense. Like I said, the shooting percentage over the last 5 games, the IPP is up, you know, actually, sorry, I was looking at Evan Bouchard. So no, the IPP is not up. It's 60%, but still. I mean, 79 points, no Horvat. All right, that's not happening. Where are you at with Horvat and even Barzal, like the Islanders in general, their top line?
Yeah, I think Horvat can hit 79 points with this current iteration. It really does depend on Barzal, too. Like, you just see this all over. It's so hard for one single player to do anything in the league anymore. They are all very codependent, and figuring out those relationships and the relationships that work and the ones that don't is such a key part of predicting fantasy success these days. And I think that, yeah, Horvat and Barzal are finally really clicking, and I think that that can continue. I mean, Horvat's got the highest shots per 60 of his career right now, highest individual scoring chances for per 60 of his career. He's skating 19 and a half minutes, which is not the highest of his career. He was even skating more last year when he came over from Vancouver. The 60% IPP feels pretty solid there. He's rocking the highest Corsi for, highest scoring chances for that he's seen in a while. That all feels good. One thing that might be a little high is the on-ice shooting percentage at 12.6%. That's the one thing that could regress, and you could see him come back a little bit from that. Could see him, you know, tick up in goals, but tick back in assists and end up with something like a 35 goal, 70 to 75 point pace, something like that, operate at that level for the rest of the season. That wouldn't shock me at all. But overall, I think Bo Horvat is doing pretty much what we expected him to. But I will say also, just looking through here, the minutes that he has lost, most of that is on the penalty kill, coming shorthanded. Yep. So that's not really something that you're really expecting to affect his fantasy numbers, right? So I will say that I'm not as worried about the time on ice loss, just because it's mostly at the penalty kill state. So overall, I think this is kind of who Horvat is. Again, it's not like the most exciting player, but he definitely can provide some fantasy value, so I don't want to dismiss it either. Let's talk about Evan Rodriguez. Obviously had a really huge game the other night, and now that puts him at 8 points in his last five games. I don't believe, did he have anything in the game today? No, he didn't have any points in the game today. But that's kind of what you get with Evan Rodriguez. It's a little bit up and down and all over the place. Averaging just under 15 minutes in his last five games here in the game today. He played 13:39. He's just going to be up and down in a lot of those things. 36th in the league in shots per 60, 145th in individual scoring chances for per 60. That's a pretty constant thing with Rodriguez. He shoots a lot, but he's not as good at getting to dangerous areas to get those shots off. 61st in Corsi for per 60 and 58th in scoring chances for per 60. We just had a week where the Panthers had the three off nights, so it was a terrific time to stream in Rodriguez if he was available in your league. What are you doing with Rodriguez this week, given obviously the hot pace of the last little bit, but also coming off a 0.2 shot game in 13 minutes, 39 seconds? You kind of got away the good with the bad with Rodriguez. How's that leaving you feeling for this week?
Yeah, to me, I think it's a streamable player. You can just punt him out and probably feel fine about that. They got the three games with one off night. I mean, obviously, you're looking at other guys from those four teams that have two games to drop first, right? But to me, Evan Rodriguez, if you drop him, I'm not too concerned. Like this guy, that big game he played, like he was on the top line there. He was playing with Barkov and Reinhardt, and now they're playing Verhaeghe with Reinhardt and Barkov. And this guy's down on the third line, right? And he's getting minimal power play time. So it's the thing about Evan Rodriguez, he's like a Swiss Army knife, right? You can plug him in wherever in the top nine there, and he can do stuff, right? But as you know, as evidenced by these metrics, this guy's a chucker. All right. He's one of those guys when you're playing a game, you know, on your team and you want to slow the game down a little bit, like, okay, let's hold it, you know, and this guy just zips in with crazy speed and just crosses the blue line and shoots it on net. You're like, buddy, that's basically a giveaway. Like, can you just stop and pass it back to your defenseman or like hold it and look around? So he's a chucker, but, you know, it's working out well for him. I think this guy's a great player to have when Florida has a good streaming schedule, and you could hold him for sure. You could hold him this week. It's not an auto drop by any means, right? Like, he's got access to some amazing players, and to me, some players that should be doing a lot better, like Matt Tkachuk and Sam Bennett-Dyson, right? These guys, they should be popping off and they aren't. So, and he's out there with these guys occasionally. So yeah, I like Evan Rodriguez, but he's a streamer to me with benefits.
Yeah, I have to concur. I'm not excited about Rodriguez. I did pick him up in a couple places for this week where he had been dropped, and I'm planning on dropping him again after that. So, yeah, I just think that Rodriguez is who he is. In this game, he was on the third line again. I'm not just going to take chances and hope that Rodriguez is back there and that he has one of his big games because it is a bit of a coin flip, and I think the coin is even a little bit weighted against you there. Let's keep rolling and talk about Thomas Hurdle. I don't know if you've ever coined a nickname for this man, Blake, but maybe you can hit us with that and explain why he's got 5 goals and 7 points in his last 5 games.
Well, I don't know. You know the way my brain works, Nate. There's literally one guy up here like cranking a crank. There's some smoke coming out of my ears. There's not a lot going on in here. So the best I could do is Thomas the Turtle Hurdle. And I got that from Master of Disguise. You ever see that movie, Nate?
I have,
turtle,
yes.
Turtle, turtle, turtle. Am I not turtly enough for the Turtle Club? No, you aren't turtly enough. The only man turtly enough is Thomas Hurdle, all right? And he's going off right now. Damn. We talked a little bit about him on Friday. Like, it's a player that should be rostered right now. Anyway, I mean, until the Sharks go into their next, like, tailspin of doom, you know, where they, yeah. You know, they're getting, you know, touchdowns scored on them on the regular. But yeah, for now, 5 goals, 2 assists in 7 games, including a Hattie in one of those games, over 20 or just under 21 minutes, 17 shots in the last 2 games, buddy. Yeah. There's kind of a good vibe there in San Jose. Like I think that those 2-10 spots that they had there, the 2 losses there, like, kind of galvanized the team a little bit, right? They were at the absolute lowest point and the only place to go is up. And mentally, I think they were able to make a switch there. And like, I've seen some kind of locker room celebrations even, and you know, they present like a heavyweight belt or something after the game. These guys are jacked up, right? They're proud guys. They want to go out there and do something, right? And Hurdle, apparently, like, just from all reports that I've heard, he's a great leader as well. So I think he's feeling it. The team is stoked that he's doing so well. And I think, like, what is their schedule this week? I think they're three games and then 2 off nights. So yeah, this is absolutely a rosterable player, especially for the back half of the week. San Jose has a Friday, Sunday. So I think Hurdle needs to be rostered at the very least for that Friday, Sunday, and see what happens. Like, he's getting a ton of deployment and he's shooting the lights out, buddy. Thank you for your service. All right. And it's coming soon to the Discord, a brand new emoji, Thomas the Turtle Hurdle. Book it.
Love it. Yeah, I like what Hurdle's put on the stat sheet as of late. Obviously, it's kind of weird. Like, he had this 8-shot and 9-shot games where he puts up 5 goals in the last 2 games. Yeah. And then you look back the 3 games prior to that, 0 shots, 1 shot, 1 shot. Like, where did this come from, this sudden outburst? But yeah, you got to like it while it's here. And I mean, on the season now, on pace for 28 goals, 73 points, skating 21 minutes a night. The IPP is high at 88%. But I mean, all the offense is running through Thomas Hurdle. Yeah, he's clearly their best player. Yeah. So 13.6% shooting percentage. That's in line with career numbers for Hurdle. 9.7% on ice shooting percentage. That doesn't feel like 9.7%, you would say, is low for most people. In San Jose, that feels maybe like that should be about right. Yeah. So yeah, maybe the IPP drops back a bit and he drops back to like a 65-point pace, 60 to 65 in a worst-case scenario. But yeah, I still think Hurdle is a plenty rosterable player. He's going to carry a lot of play for the Sharks. And it does seem like they're having some guys emerge. Like, even if it's not right now, it's Granlund and Zetterlund who have been playing the best. But, you know, they've still got Duclair and Hoffman. If those guys start to falter and the other guys get hot for a little bit, they have a few options. They've got William Eklund, young guy there. Like, there's a few different guys who could get hot at any given time and give Hurdle that kind of continued boost to just continue to be actually a fairly reliable fantasy asset in my mind. So yeah, I do think that Hurdle is rosterable anytime. He doesn't have to just be a streamer. Obviously you're going to feel more confident in him being a streamer, but I wouldn't be just rushing out to drop Thomas Hurdle at any given time throughout this season, in my opinion. Let's keep rolling. We got to talk about Vladimir Tarasenko, who's got 3 goals and 6 points in his last 5 games all of a sudden, averaging over 18 minutes a night, 74th in shots per 60, 45th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 42nd in Corsi, 4 per 60, 97th in scoring chances, 4 per 60 in this last little stretch. Blink and look up, and now he's on pace for 22 goals, but 71 points on the season, averaging just over 16 minutes. What to take away from all this? I did add Tarasenko in one spot for Ottawa's schedule this upcoming week where I can fit him in for all four games. What's your take here on Tarasenko, Blake? Are you interested in this? Still no top power play, but obviously the points are there.
Yeah, absolutely interested. I'm right in the same boat as you. I was able to get him in one league here, and I can get him in for all four games. So I'm excited about that, especially because this guy's got six points in his last four. So, this is not the Tarasenko of old. So I think we have to manage expectations, right? This is the Tarasenko that gets, 16 minutes a night, second power play, and he's not shooting as much, right? Like right now, Tarasenko's kind of doing, high efficiency, lower volume shot thing right now, which is not something that we like here at Apples and Genos, but whatever, he's getting it done. And his even strength deployment is pretty damn nice. Like last game, Tarasenko played with, who the hell was it? Drizzy Drake Batherson and Tim Stützle. Oh, bang. That is really nice deployment. So he's going to get some looks at even strength. And yeah, power play two, like Ottawa does a weird kind of power play thing sometimes where even power play two is not the worst situation in the world. Like he was able to get the power play one, or actually the power play he was on got more time. They got 2 minutes and 33 seconds last game. The Brady Tkachuk power play got 2 minutes and 17 seconds. So they kind of do that in Ottawa sometimes. So it's not the worst thing in the world to be on power play two there. Also, Ottawa still, I believe they're the highest. They have the highest amount of power play time in the league. For the second straight year. So I don't know. It's kind of a nice place to be. But anyways, long story short, I am interested absolutely in Tarasenko while this is going on. And we know what kind of player this is. If he can continue to get some deployment, like if he can stick around 18 minutes, which he has the last five games here or whatever, that's all the better for Tarasenko, right? But we do want to see some more shots. It's just something that hasn't really been there this season for him.
Yep. I tend to agree with that. I think that Tarasenko, like the shot generation is improving, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
On the season, it doesn't look so hot, but it's improving the last little bit. If he can continue to build on that, then that's the part that gets me a little bit excited. But he definitely is running hot kind of across the board in all the quote unquote luck metrics that we like to look at. The individual points percentage, the IPP is up at 76%. That would be among his career high numbers. 14% shooting percentage. He's usually a little bit less efficient than that. 12% on ice shooting percentage. In Ottawa, that's maybe doable, but it still feels a touch high depending on who he's playing with, obviously. Overall, I think that this 70-point pace is probably a little bit out of reach, but a 60-point pace feels really doable, and he's definitely going to give you stretches. Like while he's playing with Stützle and Batherson, I'm pretty into that. So I'm happy to roster Tarasenko for this week with a good schedule, and then we'll kind of take it from there. But for now, I'm just ecstatic that I was able to grab him up for free in one place. All right, let's take a break before we get into the have-nots. Let you know about the Apples and Genos Discord server. We got almost 1,000 fantasy hockey managers in there talking about hockey and fantasy every day, every night. Whenever you want to talk to somebody about fantasy, you can find that in the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Discord server. So get your buns and your biscuits in there and come join us. And while you're in there, take a look over at the Apples and Genos Patreon. If you need some help with your team, if you need somebody who you can ask questions to and get guaranteed responses to all of your questions, I can be that guy for you if you need it. And if you need somebody to review a team of yours and let you know what you should be doing moving forward, then I can do that as well. Check out the Apples and Genos Patreon and check out the monthly subscriptions there and see what's right for you. Also, you should be checking out, if you are not, you absolutely should be checking out Mark Barber's 18 Skaters on Twitter. Check out his daily summaries. I try to retweet them every day as long as I remember. But you should be checking those out because he provides just a terrific breakdown, really concise and easy to read breakdown of all the most notable fantasy hockey outcomes from the previous day's games. You can read that in like 5 minutes in the morning and be just totally up to speed on how all of the most important performances came about in the day before. So I definitely recommend that to anybody who's getting into fantasy hockey. And if you made it this far, you should definitely like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, wherever you're listening, if you could give us a review and rating, we would be much obliged. All right, Blake, are you ready to get into some have-nots?
You know I'm ready, buddy. I do have to mention, just on this Patreon here, this is money well spent, everyone. And for a special price, Nate will come to your house and cook you a delicious Christmas dinner. All right, I did it last year. I have never had turkey so succulent in my life. Buddy, how'd you do it? How did you do that? Do you put butter up under the skin, or what's going on?
No, the trick is to cook with much love. So.
Oh, all right. That's good to know. I'm going to put that in the bank.
All right. Well, with that in mind, let's get into the have-nots. And unfortunately, we got to start this one off with Erik Karlsson, who has just one assist in his last five games here, still averaging just around 24 minutes. And the underlying metrics look terrific. The shots are not there for Karlsson, 86th amongst defensemen, shots per 60 the last five games, but 19th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. And then the on-ice numbers are elite. Second in Corsi, 4 per 60. First in scoring chances, 4 per 60. So that's all still there. What to make of this? He's still on a 19-goal, 60-point pace. What would be your rest-of-season point pace projection for Karlsson if I had to put you on the spot now?
Yeah, sure. I definitely think this is a player that's underachieving, right? We all knew he was going to regress down from 101 points. That doesn't make any sense. But I don't think a 60-point pace at this juncture in this man's career and on his team makes a lot of sense either. So I think that if I had to project his point pace, I'd probably go closer to 70. I think this is a 70-point defenseman. But some things have to go right. And one of the main things is Pittsburgh's stinky power play. Damn. I mean, who would have predicted that at the start of the season? Like, hey, you just got Erik Karlsson, you got Letang, you got Crosby, Gensel, all these guys, like, and you have the second worst power play in the league or whatever it is, right? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So, but on the power play, it's classic stuff, right? Their Corsi 4 on the power play per 60 is sixth best in the league, but they're third worst in goals 4 per 60, seventh best in scoring chances 4 per 60, second worst in shooting percentage. So they're just extremely unlucky there. And Erik Karlsson's a big part of that, right? He only has 4 power play points on the season of his 19 points. So all that to say, I'm still high on the player. I think he's going to pace higher than 60 points. I think he has more in the tank, but, and look at these on ice numbers, right? Like that's huge. Like second in Corsi 4 per 60 and first overall in scoring chances 4 per 60 in the last five games. Like they're bubbling. Right? They're bubbling. He's actually first overall in scoring chances 4 per 60 on the season, right? Among defensemen. So it's going to come. We have to be patient. Remember, like we talk about this all the time, Nate, but they're defensemen, right? They're not forwards. We can't expect a 100-point season from Karlsson. But a 70-point season, if Karlsson got 60 to 70 points on the season, we'd be stoked. You know, I think. And be like, oh, that's great. You know what I mean? Like closer to 70 is probably, you know, what we want from Karlsson because of where you drafted him. But I'm feeling fine about Karlsson. I'm glad they got Letang on the first power play now. They just got to figure it out, right? This power play stinks, but it's not going to be stinky all season with those players there. Book it.
Yeah, I have to agree there. Like, if you look at the shots per 60, the individual scoring chances 4 per 60, almost identical to last year. So that really hasn't changed. What has changed in a positive direction is these on-ice numbers, which have gone way, way, way up there in Pittsburgh. And it's just not converting right now. And I really think that that's going to turn around for Karlsson a big way. I think he's honestly, like, if you told me that he went point per game for the rest of the season from this point onward, that would not shock me whatsoever, just given the on-ice numbers. Yeah, if somebody had shown me that at this point in the season, 26 games in, he'd be rocking this Corsi 4 per 60 and this scoring chances 4 per 60, I probably would have projected him for over a point per game. So, take that for what it's worth, but I do think that Karlsson has a lot of upside. I would be shocked if he scored only 60 points this season. That would be mind-blowing to me. So I think that he's definitely going to pace for 70 plus on the season from this point forward, and then I think he's even got upside beyond that. So Karlsson could be a little bit of a buy low if people are starting to get a little bit freaked out about what's going on there in Pittsburgh.
Love
another
it.
Defenseman that people are pretty freaked out about is Brandon Montour. Just one assist in his last five games, averaging 23 minutes. Again, we have a similar story here. 20th in shots per 63rd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. 5th in Corsi, 4 per 60. And 3rd in scoring chances, 4 per 60. Everything under the hood looks amazing for Brandon Montour on the season. You know, he's 6th in shot attempts amongst defensemen. Obviously, he's played less games, only 11 games so far, and just 2 assists in those 11 games, but he's 1st in Corsi 4 per 60, 9th in scoring chances 4 per 60 in those 11 games, 13% IPP, 9.5% on ice shooting percentage. That tells the story to me right there. He's just getting wildly unlucky. I don't know if you got much more to add to that, Blake, but honestly, I think Brandon Montour might be the biggest buy low right now.
Oh, absolutely. He's just right in line with Matt Tkachuk there. Like, they're both kind of afflicted with the same, you know, issue, right? Tons of chances, tons of pucks towards the net, no luck, right? But that it's going to be a landslide when it starts happening. This guy's going to put up points in bunches. So yeah, I'm stoked on Brandon Montour. I'm not concerned at all. And I'm not concerned about Tkachuk. I am pissed off, however, but damn, we just have to wait it out, you know, and exactly buy low on this player. Easy money.
I think I know what it is, actually, Blake. After having reflected for a moment, I believe that the reason that Brandon Montour and Matthew Tkachuk can't score any points this year is because the Sex Panther, Sam Reinhart, is just vacuuming them all up. Like, all these points are coming in from outside, and Sam Reinhart's just sitting there with a Hoover, like, sucking them all up, and there's nothing left for these guys.
Yeah, straight up. You know what I've seen Sam Reinhart do? The puck's rolling in towards the net, and he goes in and just taps it in with his stick, right? Oh. He's that guy, right? You know, he's taking away people's points. Sam Reinhart, you're on notice, buddy. All right. Sex Panther, though, 60% of the time, it works every time. You know this. All right. That's how we do.
All right. Let's keep rolling. Let's talk about Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has 0 points in his last five games here. And under the hood, it does not look good either. He's averaging under 15 and a half minutes per game, 242nd in shots per 60, 189th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 110th in Corsi, 4 per 60, 170th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. I just checked, and he did not get any points in the game here tonight, so that scoreless streak has continued, and he skated 14-29. What to do with Pierre-Luc Dubois, who obviously signed a massive deal? It seemed like he was going to be just this major part of the team's plans going forward, but he goes into this cold streak. At the same time, Quinton Byfield just absolutely goes nuclear, and now Byfield's on the top power play. Dubois is kind of left with the scraps, and honestly, he's playing behind guys like Philippe Deneau. Like, Deneau played more minutes in the game today, played more power play time. What to make of all this? Do you think that Dubois' season is cursed? Is it over? Are you still have interest in the player? What's the story?
I definitely don't have interest in the player, but I didn't at the start of the season either, right? Like, it's a new face in a new place, and I don't know. He got some very reasonable deployment in Winnipeg, right? He was up at 18 and a half minutes last season. But there are other things that make PLD valuable, and he's a beefer, right? Or he has been historically. Last season, 71 hits, 47 blocks. The season before, 112 hits, right? So he has that in his range of outcomes, but he's not even doing that anymore. So he's not shooting. He's not shooting as much as he has. He's not hitting, and he's not blocking. So it's just, yeah, it's exactly that too. That thing with Quinton Byfield, that's a real key piece, right? Like, you got a player that's trending upwards, and this guy is kind of getting left in the dust, right? And we're talking about fantasy here. We're not talking about him as a player on the ice. Like, LA is they do things differently there, right? They basically run a top nine. So he's part of that group, but he's kind of been bumped down to the third line there as well. I think the game here today, if I'm not mistaken, he played with the legendary Carl Grunstrom and Alex Laferriere. Laferriere. All right. I don't know how to say that. But yeah, it's just, he's out there. Like, the Kings are in good shape. They're a good team. They're a great defensive environment, and he's a part of that. But in terms of fantasy, he's not moving the needle. He's not doing what he has done historically. That said, I mean, like you said, they signed this guy to a massive contract. He's 25. I think this is a player that will probably be more valuable next season, right? Or if there's an injury and he's able to kind of move his way up the lineup and start, like, I could see a world where PLD gets 70 points again with LA, or he's never got 70 points in his career, but I could see him getting 70 points in LA, not this season, but, you know, maybe a 70 point pace if things break right for him. But it just doesn't seem to be the case right now, does it?
No, it really doesn't. I've never been a huge proponent of Dubois. He's had spurts where he's produced, but he's never been able to sustain it for a long period of time. Honestly, his best numbers really came when he was with the Jets there. Yeah. And that obviously hasn't continued. So, yeah, I'm just kind of out on the player in general, at least relative to where his like name brand value tends to be at. So yeah, I'm just not thrilled about Dubois. I haven't rostered him in fantasy. I don't honestly know if I've ever rostered Pierre-Luc Dubois in fantasy. So I just kind of continue to be out and feel like I'm being proven right a little bit in the last few games here. So let's continue on. Let's talk about Timo Meier, who has 0 points in his last five games. Yeah, it's just brutal stuff right now for Timo Meier, who had a bad start, then seemed like he was coming on, and now we're back to this. What to make of it? Just under 60 and a half minutes average time on ice, 116th in shots per 60, 69th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60, which is pretty nice. 236th in Corsi 4 per 60, 253rd in scoring chances 4 per 60. Where are you at on Timo Meier, who's now just on a 22-goal, 48-point pace on the season?
It's pretty rough. There's no sugarcoating that. Like, you probably had to use a fairly high draft pick to get this guy on your squad, right? Nate, you were notoriously not too high on Meier, and I had him for just under a point per game. So, but I think a lot of people outside of Apples and Genos were like, this guy's going to pop off. He's top six in Jersey. They just re-signed him. You know, he's part of that group there, like 90-point Timo. Yes, please. Like, that's a pipe dream, right? And we're seeing that right now. But again, it's very similar to Dubois, only even worse. Like, the things that Meier is known for, shots and hits, he's not doing, right? And goals. He's not doing any of that. Like last season shot 4.2 shots on goal per game just on the season. This year he's 2.8 shots on goal per game. Terrible. And even his hits rates last season was just under 2 hits per game. This season he's cooking at 1.1 hits per game, right? So things that make him valuable he's not doing. And I think there was potentially some injury issues. Maybe he came back a little too early, but I also think there's something that is in his game that Lindy Ruff doesn't like. Right. Whether it's like he's not in on the forecheck or he's missing assignments or he's, you know, I don't know what it is, but why he's just not giving this man any deployment. You know, 16 minutes in the game here tonight, 14 minutes the game before that. Like, that's not going to cut it. Right. This is a player that was playing 20 minutes and up on San Jose. And that's sort of how he was able to do what he did. But yeah, it's rough stuff. I mean, some of the statistics, though, the stuff you'll talk about here, all the metrics, like they're reasonable for this player, but he's not getting the deployment to make it pop.
Yep, there are some pretty concerning things with Meier. My biggest concern with Meier was just the ice time, really. And realistically, like 20th in the league in individual scoring chances 4 per 60 on the season, that part is still there. Shooting just 9.3%, that's definitely not something you would expect to continue. The on-ice shooting percentage is low for what you'd expect being on the Devils at 10.4%. 58% IPP feels a little bit low too. But this last stretch is concerning. And I will say in the third period here, it looks like he got moved off the Jack Hughes line and got pushed way down the lineup to play with Lazar, McLeod, Dawson Mercer. Yay. Took a turn with Chris Tierney and Alexander Holtz. Like, he just got progressively pushed down the lineup throughout this game, it looks like. So that part is concerning as well. I feel like Timo Meier is just too talented to stay down forever. It's going to be a tough thing to hang on to him, but I'm absolutely hanging on to him. I can't fathom getting rid of him at this point. I'm not selling low because you're going to have to sell real low to get rid of him at this point. So I'm hanging on to Meier if I've got him, and I'm just waiting for him to turn around. If you want to deal him, if and when he finally does get hot and starts to have a few games where he plays with Hughes, gets back on the top power play, does all those things, then for sure. But there's just no way I can drop a player of this talent level unless it's like an 8-team league at this point. Yeah, the underlying metrics are still fine on the season. It's really just been a case of some bad luck and then also, yeah, fighting the coach's deployment at times here as well, which is not something you expect when you sign a massive offseason deal. But here we are. One player who has not signed a massive deal yet but is trending towards one is Jake Neighbors. 1 goal in his last 5 games after being the hottest thing going last week. But honestly, I still think I'm all the way in on Jake Neighbors. Still on the top line, still skating about 19 minutes a night, 67th in shots per 60, 22nd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 7th in Corsi, 4 per 60, and 22nd in scoring chances, 4 per 60 in these five games. I'm just very impressed. It's been very consistent, which is the most interesting thing about Neighbors for me. He's obviously playing up there on the top line with Buchnevich and Rob Thomas, which is a great spot to be, and see to just complement them perfectly right now. And yeah, we're looking at 2 weeks plus of him continuing to just pump shots and pump scoring chances and be a force on that line and on the top power play. I'm pretty excited about Jake Neighbors, and I'm wondering if I should just send over some cheeky little offers for my streamer players and see if I can get Jake Neighbors on my squad and potentially run into a guy who's going to score 65 points for the rest of the season and provide me with bangers to boot.
I love that. And that's a really key point. Like, we've seen this for long enough to be like, okay, this looks like they're kind of, this is what they're going to be doing moving forward, right? It's consistent enough. And yeah, the numbers are there. And he's on a cold streak, right? Only one assist in the last five games, but 20 minutes average time on ice. Like, I was looking at Braden Point. So he has one goal in the last five games. We got a sheet here. All right. My eyesight is poor. All right. That's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. But anyways, one goal in five games. But yeah, great deployment. Power play one. Yeah, it's an interesting player, and he came out of nowhere, right? So this is a waiver wire ad. So if you have him, you're loving that, because like you said, you can get a 60-point player off the waiver wire that you hold the rest of the season. That's amazing. So and he does other things too. Like he's been hitting. He's been the occasional block in there. So I'm not as high on Neighbors as you, especially because he crushed me in the head-to-head deathmatch this week. So I got a little bit of a bee in my bonnet for Jake Neighbors. All right, but maybe one more game of Sam Bennett, and who knows what would have happened. But that's fine, Jake. Celebrate your day. Not very nice job, my man. But yeah, great little player. I want to see more, but 2 weeks to me is long enough for us to be kind of in on this player.
Sounds good. You mentioned it, but we did want to talk about Braden Point here briefly, which is kind of hilarious. Braden Point has one assist in his last five games, despite Nikita Kucherov just continuing to set the world on fire. And more concerning to me is Point is down to 288th in shots per 60, 161st in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Despite all that exposure to Kucherov, he's only 84th in Corsi 4 per 60 and 117th in scoring chances 4 per 60. Now, on the season, obviously, still things look pretty good. 34 goals, 88-point pace. He's skating over 20 minutes a night. On the season, things look fine. But do you have any concern for Point? Like, it feels crazy to say, but like, what's going on here? How can Kucherov just be lighting the world on fire and Braden Point's just putting with a point per game and a little over?
I love that. Putting. That's very accurate. I am not concerned with Braden Point. I mean, the numbers are never amazing, right, with Braden Point. So there's no big surprise that he's not really hitting those metrics the way we like it. Although this last five games has been worse than what he's done so far this season. But it's just that access to Kucherov and the crazy deployment that this man gets. Like, he just played 21 and a half minutes last game with, 4 minutes on the power play, 5 minutes on the power play the game before that. Like, he's just unlucky, right? You got to obviously hold through this. I'm not looking to get off Braden Point, anything like that. The points are going to come back. The good thing is, like, he's still on an 88-point pace. Like, he's just a streaky player, right? But something Braden Point does really well, I've mentioned this a few times, but he's such a good player off the rush. I love players like this, and they are able to generate their own offense, right? Because of how dynamic they are. And this guy's, he's like that, right? He's just not putting the puck in the net, right? He's a very efficient player. He's shooting efficiently right now on the season, 15.2%. Last season, for his 51 goal season, he was 21.7%. So that's obviously too high. I don't see 50 goals in Braden Point's future, but I'm not too concerned. But this does suck a little bit. And it's kind of boggling the mind, right? Because, yeah, Kucherov is just losing his mind. And this guy's out here, one assist. Buddy, come on, help us out.
Yeah, same. I'm not worried about Braden Point. It is obviously a little annoying that he's down to a 34 goal pace. I think that comes back up. He's shooting 15%. He's typically been higher than that. He's had a couple of 20% shooting percentages on seasons. He's always been very efficient in that regard. IPP at 61% has some room to grow too. So I'm really just completely unconcerned with Braden Point. If somebody in your league is concerned, then I'm definitely into that. I don't think they will be, just given the proximity to Kucherov. People will hang on, but if that does exist out there, it could be worth casting a line. All right, we've got a new segment that we want to introduce here to just shine a light on some players that are performing under the hood and maybe under the radar a little bit. Don't have a terrific name for this one yet, so you can let us know if you got any great ideas. We'll keep workshopping it a little bit, but we want to talk about a couple of guys here who just continue to show out in the underlying metrics that we love, and we really think if a couple of things break right for them, maybe it's deployment. In most cases, honestly, it is deployment. That's where we get a lot of breakouts, is we see somebody who's performing really well under the hood, like Quinton Byfield, and then they get elevated, their deployment goes up, and all of a sudden you've got a true difference maker for fantasy purposes. So the first guy on the list here is going to be Owen Tippett. You talked about this a little bit earlier this past week, Blake, but Owen Tippett continues to be one of those people that's just a little bit of like the what if. Like, what if he was just a 20-minute a night guy? And we saw a little bit of that last year, and it was terrific for fantasy. Right now, he's got 2 goals, 3 points in his last 5 games, which is fine. Averaging over 15 minutes a night, which is fine, but his shots for 60 is 8th in the league over the last 5, 9th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, but he's really being held down in the on-ice numbers by his environment, in my mind, 176th in Corsi 4 per 60 and 180th in scoring chances 4 per 60. Now, Owen Tippett is not really a massive efficiency guy. He's not going to shoot like 17% like a Point or a Matthews or somebody like this, but he's definitely a guy who generates just a ton of chances every single time. He's been that the last few seasons, and you saw it even a little bit when he was with the Panthers, just getting very limited minutes there, and then comes over to the Flyers, obviously has a massive end to the year last year, and then we expect big things for Tippett this year, and it hasn't quite come to fruition. He's on pace for 27 goals, 52 points. Actually, I want to check it because that's ringing a bell for me. I think I projected him for something right around there because I did think that it was going to be tough for him to just get the crazy minutes that he got at the end of last year to really elevate his play. But again, we're talking about a guy that I think just has a huge ceiling. Talk to me about that ceiling. How big do you think it is? What do you think needs to go right for Tippett for him to actually find all that fantasy goodness for us?
Yeah. Well, like you said, right off the top, to me, this is deployment related, right? With Tippett. You know, he's playing on the third line there with Bobby Brink and who the hell's the other guy? I had it right up here. Yeah. Bobby Brink and Morgan Frost. So not exactly blowing the doors down, you know what I mean? Good players, right? But it's not the line that they're really going to, right? I mean, obviously, Couturier and Atkinson getting back into the lineup here this season has affected the potential deployment for Owen Tippett. But yeah, this guy to me is like a stash, right? He's good enough to be on your roster, especially like, you know, you want to have him on your roster when Philly has a good schedule. But this is a guy that if he just needs to get on power play one first off and get a little bit better even strength deployment. It's pretty simple with Owen Tippett because he's shown that he can do that. And honestly, if he gets that, I don't think he's going to pop the hell off, like go for 80 points or something like that. But I think we could be looking at a 65 point player if he can get that deployment. But as it stands, yeah, he's on a 52 point pace and maybe he gets that, maybe he doesn't. But I tend to think too, like the way Tortorella did it last season, like with a player like Kevin Hayes, for example, he basically told Kevin Hayes straight up in the back half of the season, like, we're going to be playing the young guys a lot more, right? And Owen Tippett is 24, right? I could see that same scenario happening if Philly really kind of falls off the map here, gets way out of contention. Like guys like Owen Tippett could get that 20-minute treatment again. I just think that this is a player we need to keep our eye on, you know, weekly, right? And see my voice went high there. weekly. It's a player that we have to watch weekly just to see what's going on with them, because under the hood, this man is ridiculous, right? And he's doing it with limited minutes. So anyways, I'm a big fan of Owen Tippett. He's also a beefer. He hits. So there's lots of value here, but give me some deployment on Owen Tippett, that redheaded beauty.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with all that. The reason that 27 goals and 52 points as a pace that he's currently on for the season rang a bell for me is because that is exactly what I projected him for at the start of the season, actually. That's really funny that we happen to be talking about him at this exact moment where he's pacing for that. But yeah, I agree with everything you said. I really think that Tippett just needs a chance to really pop, and he gives you the hits. Like, there's just nothing that you dislike about what Owen Tippett brings to the table. Absolute Cats League beauty if and when he gets a little bit more time on ice and with a few more players. You were very kind to Bobby Brink. And who's the other one? Morgan Frost. I might not have been quite so kind in my assessment of their relative talents, but
cool name. Yeah. Both those guys, they sound like superheroes. Bobby Brink and Morgan Frost.
Terrific name for 60 over there.
Yeah, totally.
All right, one more that I do want to mention before we get out of here. It's kind of a two-for-one. Lawson Crouse and Matias Michelli have been playing together and playing extremely well in the last little bit here. Crouse has 4 points in his last 5 games. Michelli has 3, but they've been getting a ton of minutes. Like, Michelli's been over, what did I say? I think it was like 22 minutes the last game that Michelli got. It's insane what they're doing with these guys right now. 22-19 and 22-04 for Michelli in amazing. The last 2 games here. Crazy stuff you'd just never really expect, right? For a guy like that, especially when they have a tried and true top line with the Schmaltz and Keller there. 2051 and 1904 for Crouse in those 2 games, and he's got a goal in both. So these guys in the last couple of games really popping off. Arizona has the Monday Tuesday back to back to start this week. It's just a terrific entry point to check out if these guys are for real. I tend to think that there's something cooking here. I don't know if this deployment is going to keep up for, you know, a sustained period of time, but I'm absolutely willing to kick tires for this week and find out. Crouse, 127th in shots per 60, 84th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 the last 5 games. Michelli, 42nd in shots per 60 and 111th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 in those 5 games. On the season, Crouse is pacing for 39 goals but 56 points, obviously doing a little bit of a Cy Young thing there. Michelli, 13 goals and pacing for 60 points, but also has really taken a big turn towards shooting the puck more in the last couple of weeks, and that can only mean good things for him moving forward. So what's your take on these two, Blake? I'm obviously pretty bullish. You want to temper my expectations a little bit?
I don't think so. I mean, that's why people listen to these podcasts, right? You want to start finding these gems, these guys that haven't really popped off, but they're ready to pop off. And we have to take notice of that. Matias Michelli, this is a guy last season that it was like a Rob Thomas situation. Like, he would not shoot the puck, right? He averaged 1 shot on goal per game last season in 64 games. Like, it just, that's ridiculous. So now it's like he's turned a corner and he's made a conscious decision, very much like Quinn Hughes, a player like that. So we have to take notice of these things, and he hasn't gone off yet, right? This is a player this week in particular. Get him for that back-to-back, get him for that Monday, Tuesday, both these guys, right? Lawson Crouse, but Matias Michelli, pick him up and see where it kind of lands, right? Because the deployment they're giving in Arizona there is nuts, and anytime players are getting 20 minutes and over, we got to take notice of that. And then if they're putting together the shots the way Matias Michelli is, and Lawson Crouse for that matter, like, bang, I'm very excited about these guys. And honestly, it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, you are the one that told me about this, and I'm like, oh yeah, like, look at this is crazy stuff, right? So we got to take notice of this, and, you know, add them and see where we are at week's end. I'm a big fan of both these players.
All right. Well, if we didn't talk about a player that you desperately did want to hear about, then you should look for the Puzzling Players live stream that I do every single Monday at 8 p.m. EST. You can join the Appleton GMs Discord server. As I mentioned before, I put a call out for people to submit their most puzzling players. Everybody puts a thumbs up for the players they want to hear about the most. And so we have sort of a democratic process to hear about the most puzzling players. But yeah, live stream 8 p.m. EST on YouTube every single week, 8 p.m. EST on Mondays. All right, Blake. Move of the week. What do you got for us? What was your biggest move this week?
Yeah, there was nothing crazy. I had a couple like slam dunk matchups that I was able to win. So, but just simple stuff. Like, you know, when you set your roster at the beginning of the week, you look and see who's not making it, right? And those are your streamers, right? And halfway through the week, I noticed that I had Gustav Nyquist on my team, on one team, and then Jake Neighbors on another team. And I wasn't getting them in any of the games. So I dropped both players, and I was able to pick up Brock Faber because I did have a D spot, and I was able to, you know, get two extra games for both matchups. And it's just a simple move, but I was able to win both matchups. Faber did get two assists in one game, so that's nice. And he's still going here now, so I don't know what he's doing in this game that they're playing tonight, but just it's just simple stuff. But like that's streaming 101 right there. You got guys on your bench, get rid of them. It, you know, not at all costs, but get rid of them and bring in a player who's going to get you some points. Some points is better than 0 points. Like it's common sense. So anyways, those are a couple moves I did and I was happy.
For sure. For myself, I had a league where I had some pretty interesting injury issues come up this week. It's a Cats league. So I had Gudbranson and Line A. I had had them for the awesome week that Columbus had for all the off nights. And then I kept them for this week because it was, again, pretty solid for Columbus in terms of schedule. And yeah, they both went down and they're kind of like illness. So you weren't sure if they were going to be back the next game, but you weren't sure if they would be out longer. It ended up that they were out for like the whole week. But what I did in those cases is I made ads right away that could potentially work for the rest of the week. And I'm obviously very glad that I did because they did stay out until this Sunday game here. And then obviously Gudbranson went absolutely off on Nick Cousins and beat him into a pulp. But aside from that, for fantasy purposes, he didn't do much for me this week. But I was able to pick people up in the interim and get those games played and those categories buffed up that I was missing because of those players being out. And obviously, this is a little bit of a case-by-case scenario. You don't want to just go nuts, and every time somebody's out with an illness, you just grab somebody immediately. But in this case, I had two guys out right there, and I had some other injury issues as well. And I was kind of staring down the barrel of being just very far down in games played if I didn't pick anyone up and they were out longer. And so in that specific case where I had multiple players and I really had to make a decision if I really believed they were going to be out long term or short term, I decided that kind of the anti-risk route to go was to assume that they would be out. If they did come back, then you know it's not that big a deal. I can kind of, depending on which game they came back for, I could kind of figure out which way I wanted to go between them and the other player that I picked up. But I just protected myself and I protected my games played and I protected my ability to compete in the categories that I was using those players for. So I just think that that's really important. If you have a spot where you lose a couple players midweek and you're looking at, you're like, man, I don't know if I want to use my last two ads here on Tuesday already, but you're looking at the games played and you're like, man, I'm just going to be so far behind. I kind of think in that specific situation, you absolutely should pull the trigger and you should protect your kind of investment in the week that you've already made and go ahead and make that and try to make the best of a matchup for the week. All right. Last item of business here, Blake. We got to recap the head-to-head streamer death match because I finally won. Oh, it feels so good.
Asterix.
What asterisk? Tell me more. What asterisk could you possibly place?
No, it's on me. It's all on me. It's fair and square, but damn, that's what we call a brain fart. You pick a streamer that has three games instead of four. What the hell am I doing?
And you've picked Casey Mittelstadt for this upcoming week, so you've graciously ceded already. I just really appreciate what you're doing for me as of late, Blake.
Did you see his ice time the other night? 27 minutes for Mittelstadt, buddy. That's what we want to see. All right. We're in good shape here. I'm excited.
27 minutes and no points to be found. Terrific. Don't even need to bring Casey that up. All right?
I'm just talking about the minutes. Yeah, that's nice.
All right. Well, that's all we got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.